The headlines: Iran warning of a possible pullout from the nuclear proliferation treaty or expelling international nuclear inspectors. Response to Europe's decision to blacklist the IRGC. Islamic countries strongly condemn the burning of Muslims' holy book by Swedish-Danish right-wing extremists in the Swedish capital. No reports of multiple casualties from the U.S. as a result of a shooting in Southern California, which is home to a large number of ethnic Asians. Thanks for joining us. Top Iranian officials have slammed the European Parliament for blacklisting the country's Islamic Revolution Guards Corps. President Ebrahim Raisi says such moves are rooted in the IRGC's role against terrorists in the region. Raisi says enemies are trying to subject a large number of the ruling system in Iran to criticism due to its successes, but will fail. He was referring to a Thursday resolution in which European lawmakers called for the designation of the IRGC as a terror group. It comes as EU foreign ministers are set to discuss tightening sanctions on Iran next week. Iran's parliament speaker is now warning of immediate reciprocal steps if the EU sanctions the IRGC or blacklists the force. Mohammad Bagher Ghalibaf says that Iran is ready to reciprocate against European armed forces. Tehran says all options are on the table against European countries after a resolution by the European Parliament calling for the blacklisting of the Islamic Revolution Guards Corps. Foreign Minister Hossein Amir Abdollahian says the EU foreign policy chief has assured him that the resolution was an emotional move and that Europeans are not acting on it. Amir Abdollahian, however, says that they should take the path of logic and correct their stance. He warned that otherwise Iran will not rule out withdrawal from the non-proliferation treaty or the expulsion of international nuclear inspectors. According to Amir Abdollahian, a Sunday statement by the Iranian lawmakers is also a reciprocal step. In the statement, the MPs warned of a decisive response to the European resolution and retaliatory measures against armed forces of the European countries. Earlier, political analyst Fuad Azadi joined us with his take on the rising Iranophobia in Europe.
You know, normal people, when they fail at a project or a policy, they generally go back and try to make corrections, learn from the past mistakes, and have an action or a policy that is more reasonable. That's what normal people do. Normal countries do that. And then you have some people occasionally that when they fail, they start swearing. They start chanting, stuff. That is not appropriate. And the second category of people are generally, they get upset because of the failure and they start saying nonsense. And it seems Europeans are in the second category, at least the people who voted for this motion are, instead of learning from past mistakes, instead of realizing that they cannot overthrow the Iranian government, they start name-calling, they start engaging in activities that are against international law, and they're going to hurt themselves. You know, they got into a fight with the Russian government, and they are not able to use Russian energy resources. If they want to repeat that with the Iranian government, they will be cut off from Middle Eastern energy resources. And that is not good for people in Europe.
Iran has launched the implementation phase of its first communications satellite constellation project. Iran's space agency says it is now receiving tender offers for the mission. The head of the agency, Hassan Salarieh, said the project will be carried out by the domestic knowledge-based firms. He added that the project, named after Iran's assassinated Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani, will have significant achievements for the country. A satellite constellation is a group of artificial satellites working together as a system. Iran's space program is one of the country's science and technology sectors that have seen major progress in recent years, despite U.S. sanctions. Condemnations are pouring in from across the Muslim world following the burning of a copy of the Holy Quran by a right-wing Swedish-Danish politician in Stockholm. Iran's foreign ministry spokesman said that the move is a clear example of spreading hatred and violence against Muslims. Nasser Kanani slammed Swedish authorities for allowing the desecration of Islam's holy book. He said such sacrilegious acts cannot be justified under the false pretext of advocating freedom of speech. Turkey also slammed the vile attack on Islam's holy book in the strongest possible terms, saying a planned visit by the Swedish defense minister to the country has been canceled.
We have been following the process regarding this visit. As you are aware, we observed that there had been no reaction from the Swedish administration regarding those disgusting and mean actions against Turkey and our president. At this point, the visit of Swedish Defense Minister Pål Jonson to Turkey on January 27 has become meaningless and has no importance. That's why we canceled the visit.
Meanwhile, Pakistan said the provocative Islamophobic act has hurt the feelings of Muslims around the world. Kuwait also dismissed the blasphemous move as a serious provocation, urging the international community to work towards stopping such moves. And Saudi Arabia called for dialogue, tolerance, and coexistence, while rejecting hatred and extremism. The United Arab Emirates, Qatar, Jordan, and Egypt also condemned the move. The Organization of Islamic Cooperation slammed it as a provocative act, insulting Islamic values. Lebanese resistance movement Hezbollah and Palestinian resistance movement Hamas condemned the move as well. Our correspondent Roshan Saglam says Turkey has been one of the countries that have categorically condemned the burning of a copy of the Holy Quran by a right-wing Swedish-Danish politician outside of the Turkish embassy in Stockholm.
Turkey considers the act of burning Holy Quran as a vile act, and it says that going on with the demonstration, despite all warnings, was a completely unacceptable. The presidential spokesperson, Ibrahim Kalın, also tweeted about the issue, and he said that this is a hate crime, what happened in front of the Turkish embassy. He also said that despite all warnings, Sweden chose to give or allow this demonstration to happen, and he said this is encouraging hate crime, and this is encouraging Islamophobia. Turkey considers actually allowing this protest to happen, knowing that the Holy Quran will be burned. We know that the protesters, or the main character that initiated this hate crime, had tweeted several times that he is going to go with this act and burn the Holy Quran. So the Swedish government should have been aware that this is going to happen. Nevertheless, they still allowed the protest to take place.
Protest rallies going on in Tel Aviv against Netanyahu's cabinet for a third week. Earlier in our news review program, we discussed the increasing fragmentation of the occupying regime. Let's take a listen.
Welcome to another edition of the News Review. In this edition, tens of thousands of Israelis have once again hit to the streets to vent their anger at the policies of Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's far-right cabinet. Israelis have been protesting against Netanyahu for the third straight week. Protesters are expressing their disapproval of what they call a fascist cabinet and its proposed reforms that are meant to increase political power. Last week, an estimated 80,000 people descended on Tel Aviv to deplore the cabinet. Netanyahu returned to power at the head of a coalition with extreme right and ultra-Orthodox parties. The cabinet is planning to hand over more powers to lawmakers in appointing judges and overriding the rulings of the regime's apex court. The coalition also intends to intensify the expansionist policy with more settlement units in the occupied West Bank. To discuss that more, we're joined by Wafa Al-Udaini, a Palestinian activist and journalist who's joining us from Gaza City. Also, we have with us Julia Qasim, journalist and political analyst, joining us from Beirut. Let's begin with our guest from Gaza City. It is the third straight week that people are protesting in Tel Aviv Does this mean that this new administration and this new cabinet is even too extreme for the Israelis themselves?
Okay, well, actually, it is really very, very wrong to think that those Israelis who took the street and the protest against the new Israeli government, that they protest in solidarity with the Palestinian people. Indeed, they say that they protest against this government because they fear for their democracy. Okay, but indeed, this government is really anti. I mean, not only this government, all of the government, all of the previous Israeli government, they are all anti-democratic. And then they indeed, when they protest against this government, they want to show the world that they care about the democracy. And indeed, this government, the new Israeli racist government, actually, they feel ashamed of it, and it indeed embarrassed them in the international community, because, as you know, that two ministers in this government actually from a terror groups and from Kahana organization. And the Kahana organization, indeed, it is banned internationally, and they considered it as a terrorist group, and it is banned. So this government violated the international law, and indeed, this government, you know, embarrassed the Israelis, and they feel that if the international community, which is considered like the lifeline for Israel, they are the ones who, aid the Israelis with advanced weapon, and they support it, they aid it, they strengthen it against the Palestinian people. So having two ministers in this government from a terror organization, actually this means that this government or even their state, they do not deserve to have a state, or they do not deserve to have a government. So they fear for their image internationally. That's why they are protesting and took the streets in Israel.
Well, actually, Ms. Al-Odaini, you pointed out to the fact that they're fighting for what they call a democracy, and this is actually something I would like to put the spotlight on and bring in our other guest, Julia Qassam from Beirut, in to discuss that. How can we talk about democracy in an occupied land? Are these occupiers, how can they even discuss about democracy?
Exactly. What these protests are showing is that what these protests show is the dissatisfaction and the anger that liberal Israelis have with the occupation, not living up to the ideals and the exceptionalist concept of a Western corruption-free democracy. Obviously, Netanyahu is not being indicted for his crimes against the Palestinians, because that's something that every single official in this occupying government since 1948 can be indicted for. What he's being indicted for is participating activities that every Western politician engages in, corruption charges that have been built up since 2016, and they're pushing for an investigation in order to kind of uphold to the standard of Western liberal democracy, that is where corruption is reserved for the Oriental despots, not for the West and its allies. So while this does demonstrate an internal contradiction in Israeli political society, it comes at the helm of an even greater contradiction of people protesting for so-called democracy while benefiting from what is essentially occupation by an illegitimate entity.
Thank you very much, Julia Qassam, a journalist and a political analyst from Beirut, and also Wafa Al-Odaini, Palestinian activist and author and journalist from Gaza City. Thank you very much. to both of you for sharing your thoughts and views with us on this edition of the News Review.
Police in the U.S. state of California are responding to a shooting that has claimed 10 lives. Another 10 people have also been injured, including at least one who is in critical condition. The shooting took place around the location of a Chinese Lunar New Year celebration in the city of Monterey Park, east of Los Angeles. Police say the suspected gunman has fled the scene, and they are still trying to find him. No information about a motive for the attack. That is the latest mass shooting in the U.S., which suffers from chronic gun violence. Nearly 650 mass shootings were reported in the country last year. The bloodshed has intensified calls for stricter gun control laws amid resistance by weapons companies and their lobbies. And staying with the U.S., the gloomy economic climate is taking a heavy toll on the media industry there, with a series of companies announcing layoffs. Vox Media is the latest outlet to declare such cuts, saying that it will shed 7% of its workforce. That is more than 130 people. The company cited the, quote, challenging economic environments. The employees' union said it was furious over the announcement. The news follows layoffs at CNN, NBC, MSNBC, BuzzFeed, and other outlets. The Washington Post is also expected to announce a staff reduction soon. Media and technology sectors in the U.S. have been battered in recent months by falling advertising revenues amid fears of an oncoming recession. And that is it for this edition of World News. It's bye-bye for now.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
About yourself?
Abhishek Manandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who taught me the art of writing.
Listeners Special.
In the name of God, the All-Compassionate, the All-Merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and warm greetings to you all. Welcome to another edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, January 22nd, 2023. I'm Atefeh Erfani, hosting this program today. As you may know, Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views and opinions are presented through your emails, letters, and messages. So please contact us and tell us what you think about IRIB English radio programs. And if you have any message for our listeners around the world, you can record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard in this program. Remember, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. Please don't go away and keep us company until the end of the program. Welcome back. And here we've received reception reports from around the world, from Mizanur Rahman from Bangladesh, Najmuddin from India, and Heikki Puranen from Finland. So, Mizanur Rahman, Najmuddin, and Heikki, we want you to know how much we value your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. As you may know, these reception reports are very helpful to us, especially to our technicians and engineers, because these reception reports enable us to provide a better service to our listeners around the world. All of you who have sent in a reception report will be receiving an electronic QSL from us. And of course, we've received many emails and letters from around the world. For this program, I mentioned some of your names here, and later during the program, I will read them. For this program, we will read emails from Stu Forsyth from Malaysia. We've received an email from Anand Mohan Bain from India, one of our old and regular listeners. Yong Jean Lee from China has sent us an email. Najmuddin from India, one of our old and regular listeners, has sent us an email. And again from India, we've received an email from Jayanta Chakrabarty. Please stay with us. This is Listeners Special, and we've received many emails and letters from around the world. As I said, Stu Forsyth from Malaysia has sent us an email. Let's see what Stu says. I am a New Zealander living in Malaysia with my wife. We are both teachers and have previously lived in Jordan, Dubai, and Vietnam. I think your service does a great job. It is really interesting hearing the news from a different point of view. Very refreshing. I very much enjoyed listening to the English broadcast. Very best wishes. Salam and warm greetings to you, Stu Forsyth from Malaysia. Please accept our appreciations to you for sending us this email. And thank you very much for reflecting your views about IRIB English Radio and our programs, which you said you like the news section very much. So please accept our electronic QSL as verification and write to us soon. We are looking forward to hearing from you. And from India, we've received an email from Anand Mohan Bain, one of our old and regular listeners. Anand Mohan Bain says, "Dear friends at IRIB English Radio, greetings and Happy New Year 2023. I am Anand Mohan Bain, an old listener of yours. I regularly listen to the programs and send reception reports. For some time now, your program is not being heard online or is not available in the archive. I request you to take some action in this regard. The radio sometimes sounds good, but sometimes the reception is very bad. Salam and warm greetings to you, and thank you very much for letting us know your views about the quality of our programs. Anand Mohan Bain from India. We also wish you all the best in the new year 2023, and of course, greetings to you on this occasion. Of course, we will inform our technicians and engineers about the problem you mentioned. Anyway, write to us soon and let us know more about your views and opinions about IRIB English Radio broadcast. Anand Mohan Bain from India. And after a short break, I will be back with you with an email from China from Yong Zhong Li. Please stay with us. Welcome back. As I said, Yong Zhong Li from China has sent us an email. So let's see what he or she says. Dear sir or madam, hello. My name is Yong Zhong Li, a university student from Jiangsu province, China. Here is south of the lower branch of the Yangtze River, a region where fish and rice is in abundance. I am a shortwave radio enthusiast. I listen to your program recently and I do enjoy it. I thought that you may be interested in knowing that your program can be heard thousands of kilometers away. Salam and warm greetings to you from Tehran, the capital of the Islamic Republic of Iran. Yong Zhong Li, thank you very much for your complimentary views on IRIB English radio programs. Yes. We are also very happy that our signals can be received kilometers away, especially in your region. You said Yangtze River, and you are a university student from Jiangsu province in China. So it's good to hear the news that the signals of IRIB English Radio can be heard kilometers away, not only in your region, but around the world. Anyway, Yong Zhong Li from China, write to us soon and tell us more about your experiences, your region you live, and of course, IRIB English radio programs. And we go to India again, where we've received an email from Najmuddin, one of our old and regular listeners. Najmuddin says, dear sir or madam, assalamu alaikum, please find the reception report enclosed to my email. I received your signals here in Murshidabad, West Bengal, India. Also, I am glad to say that news and news highlights program in your radio is always my favorite. Kindly send me a new program and frequency schedule printed QSL card with IRIB souvenirs. I will be very grateful if you kindly select me as a reception monitor to serve you as much as possible. Salam and warm greetings to you from Tehran, from the capital city of the Islamic Republic of Iran, and Najmuddin from India. Thank you. Thank you very much for your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. Unfortunately, sending souvenirs is not possible at the time of pandemic, so please refer to our website to find the frequency schedule and please accept our electronic QSL as verification. Najmuddin from India, many thanks for writing this email to your favorite radio station, IRIB English Radio. My colleagues will soon send you, as I said, electronic QSL as verification to this email. And we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. We wish you all the best. And after a short break, I will be back with you. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special. And as for the last email in this edition of Listeners Special, we've received another email from India, this time from Jayanta Chakrabarty, one of our old and regular listeners. Jayanta Chakrabarty says, "Dear producer, I have been a long-time regular listener to IRIB English radio broadcast. I'm interested to be an official monitor for IRIB English radio for the new year 2023. I hope you will kindly consider my request. With warm regards, Jayanta Chakrabarty." Salam and warm greetings to you, Jayanta Chakrabarty from India. And please accept our warm gratitudes for sending this email to us. As for your request, I will, of course, inform my colleagues about this request. And please accept our electronic QSL as verification. We wish you all the best. Thank you very much for sending this email to your favorite radio station, IRIB English Radio. Dear listeners, here we come to the end of our today's program. But before saying goodbye, I do send my warm gratitudes and appreciations to those of our great listeners who have kindly sent us reception reports as well as emails and letters from around the world, including Mizanur Rahman from Bangladesh, Najmuddin from India, Heikki Puranen from Finland, Jayanta Chakrabarty from India, also Yang Zhong Li from China, Stu Furitz from Malaysia, and Anand Mohan Bain from India. Many thanks for being with us. Please keep in touch with your Listeners Special and IRIB English Radio. We wish you all the best. God bless and goodbye.
Dear listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We will be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send us emails to englishradio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at parstoday.ir/en. Our phone number is 0098-21-2201-3720. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except Him, and He has enjoined kindness to parents.
For humanity.
Sayyid Abdullah Al-Musawi.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Brothers and sisters, dear listeners, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to the program For Humanity. We have been looking at the human traits in the Quran, And we said when it comes to the traits of a human beings, we have good traits and we have bad traits. Alhamaha fujuraha wa taqwaha, as the Quran eloquently puts it, that he gave it the good and the bad, the yin and the yang, and then it is up to the human to decide to navigate his way through his traits. For those who navigate through the good traits, they become successful. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا, victorious he who purifies it. And those who dwell into the negative traits, then قَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّهَا, surely he's at loss, he who has made it darkened and made it corrupted. We spoke about a number of traits. One of the traits the A'imma alayhum as-salam, and specifically the Qur'an, dwells in and tries to highlight to me and you is the concept of al-hasad. So we spoke about greed being a trait that destroys humanity. We spoke about other traits that destroy humanity. One of these traits is jealousy and hasad, or envy. Now, when it comes to jealousy and envy, obviously they are two different English words and two have two different meanings as well. But what we're trying to mean here, without having to go in depth of the English aspect of these two words, is that sometimes when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestows a blessing or a ni'mah or gives one of us something that we don't have, what we tend to do is desire that thing and want to have it as well. And this is very normal, very fine, because it's a human need and human desire. We want to have the nice things that people have. So there's no problem in that. And asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you something like it, this is also not a problem there as well. Sometimes we, in Arabic, we call that ghibta. You see someone having something nice and you wish you could have the same as well. And you're happy for them. But that's on the good side. But when we go to the dark side of this scenario, is that I see my friend or I see my brother or sister in faith or equal in humanity has something that I don't have. What I tend to do is wish that they lose what they have and I get to have it. So that now we're being very selfish and we're pushing our limits here. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to that inner mental disease as hasad, as jealousy, as wanting what your brothers have to be gone and only you can have it. Now, with hasad, one might say, well, how is that related to human rights? And how does that, affects other humans? Well, the reality is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave that notion of hasad a portion in the Quran. And Allah would not give it that much attention if it does not have any effects on the human beings around or the ones that will be affected by it. Because science and whatever people say these days tell us that these negative, the waves that we produce when we have like hatred or jealousy towards someone, it actually takes place. It affects. Now, before I continue this discussion or this conversation, let us take a short break and then we will come back.
Dear listeners, you are listening to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. You can send us your emails, comments, and questions at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are listening to the program For Humanity. So we were saying that with hasad is actually when a person starts to have feelings or starts to create ideas in his mind, they manifest themselves in a form of wave that takes form on the outside and projects itself to the outside. And depending on how bad the person is, obviously this will be even worse. So the waves would be much stronger, they would be, I don't know, much faster, and they would take effect. And you see, you know, people getting harmed and people getting hurt because someone else looked at them with that look of envy, that look of jealousy. And, you know, we have examples, ample examples of that. That's why when we look at the hadith and the Quran, they gave it this importance. For example, the famous hadith from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, where he says, "Usul al-kufri thalatha," the traits of kufr, or the roots of kufr, the roots of disbelief in Allah are three: al-hirs, stinginess, which we already discussed; al-istikbar, pride; and al-hasad, and jealousy. So jealousy is, the root of it is disbelief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person disbelieves in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then obviously there is no limits to how bad he could get and to how bad he can be. And then everything that comes out of him is bad. And therefore, you see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, he says to us, as human beings, you need to protect yourself from such people. وَمِن شَرِّ حَاسِدٍ إِذَا حَسَدٍ, and from the evilness of the jealous people, the envious people, when they become jealous or envious. So they emit an evil that manifests itself in the outside world that we need to protect ourselves from. So don't think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he mentioned this, he just is trying to entertain me or you, or saying, yeah, there's a thing called jealousy, but it never harms. If it would not harm me and other people, then Allah wouldn't talk about it. If it's just an idea, if it's just an imagination, if it's just like a personal inner thought that I entertain and indulge myself in, then obviously Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not even question me about it, because at the end of the day, it's just in my head. It's nowhere else. So Allah says this is just like a smoke. Nothing happens. But no, he says having that trait, it's a bad thing. Why? It's considered to be haram because it does affect other people. It does harm other people. And you see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says you need to be very careful. You need to be very wary of it. Don't let yourself fall victim to that trap. So like we said, so when it comes to people and when it comes to what people have, we have to clearly differentiate between how we perceive and how we act towards them. If they have something good, there is no harm in me wishing that I have what they have, and I ask Allah for them to continue prosper and become happy. And if I go to the other side and I say, no, I wish they lose what they have and I am only the one who should have it, then we have a problem. So when it comes to the rights of people, that's one right we need to maintain, is that I should not put my eyes at the wealth and blessings that Allah has bestowed on other people. We will continue in other episodes. Until then, stay with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
اللهم صل على محمد وآله اللهم صل على محمد وآله
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Limelight.
A new report from Oxfam has revealed that the UK and US weapons sold to Saudi Arabia are fueling civilian deaths in Yemen. The charity is calling on governments to stop selling weapons to the Saudi-led coalition. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites for further details. Stay tuned for more. Press TV wrote in this regard, an Oxfam report, which analyzed 1,727 attacks on Yemeni civilians since the start of 2021, shows that at least 839 civilians were killed and 1,775 others were wounded during this time. 87 of the deaths were caused by airstrikes alone. The aircraft used in the attacks, over half of which were British-made, used cluster bombs, the use of which is banned by international law. The fatalities were due to artillery strikes, missile barrages, drone attacks, landmines, roadside bombs, and the use of light arms. According to another report by an American think tank, The American Thinker, Saudi Arabia spends some $200 million per day to hire mercenaries and maintain the arms supply. A large portion of this money goes to the UK for purchasing Typhoon and Tornado aircraft, Pei-Wei bombs, as well as Brimstone and Storm Shadow missiles, making the UK fully complicit in the crimes committed against Yemeni civilians, as stated by the International Development Committee of the UK. Given that the UK has a long history of defense exports to Saudi Arabia and its coalition partners, and considering the evidence, it seems inevitable that any violations of international humanitarian and human rights law by the coalition have involved armament supplied from the UK. These arms have also been used by the Saudi-led coalition to bomb health facilities on 19 separate instances, which constitutes war crimes. Oxfam's policy advisor Martin Butcher called on the UK government to immediately cease its arms sales to the Saudis. He also pointed out the hypocrisy of UK sanctions against Russia, while turning a blind eye to the blatant war crimes of the Saudi coalition in Yemen. Mr. Butcher also highlighted the fact that the UK government still continues to sell arms to Saudi Arabia, being its second biggest arms supplier, which will inevitably be used in the war against Yemen. He revealed that the UK government have not only been arming Saudi Arabia, but have also been very reluctant to use their position on the United Nations Security Council to push for peace. Saudi Arabia is the biggest importer of arms in the world, second only to a country with 40 times the population of the KSA. In the year 2020 alone, the kingdom imported nearly $1 billion worth of arms, the majority of which came from the U.S. This, however, does not stop the U.S. from parroting a tired narrative of pushing for peace in Yemen when, in reality, they even hesitate to call it a war. This is apparent by President Biden's initial pledges to end the war during his presidential campaign, while continually supplying arms to the kingdom to this very day. However, the weapons fragments emblazoned with US and UK branding paint a starkly different picture. The six-month United Nations-sponsored truce, which was supposed to be the grounds for longer-standing solutions, was also very quickly and repeatedly violated by the Saudi regime. This is what Yemen's Ansarullah resistance movement sees as the reason for the temporary truce. With all options exhausted, The Ansarullah movement has now said that it will inevitably launch missile strikes deep inside Saudi and UAE territories. This comes amid reports that the Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman is looking to find a way out of the incredibly costly Yemen war. The Lebanese Al Akbar newspaper wrote, Riyadh is now showing a lot of flexibility during negotiations, is currently has no concern other than getting security guarantees that the strategic facilities deep inside the country would not be hid. It has abandoned the illusion of turning Yemen into a country under its tutelage and has instead sufficed for security assurances. However, this report needs further corroboration. While the Saudi coalition has indeed failed in its attempts to strangle Yemen into submission, their aggression succeeded in bringing about what the UN describes as the world's worst humanitarian crisis in Yemen.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz for the Indian subcontinent, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird Eutelsat 3B and Iran Sat or Bat 5 and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Radio, a heralder of unity and solidarity amongst Islamic denominations.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Welcome to our program Hadith of the Day here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we are going to be looking at a very noble and interesting hadith, which has been transmitted and narrated from the fifth Imam, Imam Muhammad al-Baqir alayhi salam. This hadith is concerned with the flattering of transgressors and sinners. This is a subject which has been alluded to in the Holy Quran, and it is a trait which is a vice, and it's not very good. For example, in the Holy Quran, we read the following. God says, "Those who are eager that you should be pliable, so that they may be pliable towards you," which is a reference to the fact that a lot of the disbelievers at the time of the Holy Prophet, they were ready to be friendly and amicable towards the Prophet and be tolerant with him, with the condition that the Prophet would also be the same towards them. Right? You know, there's a lot of instances transmitted in history regarding this. For example, some of the polytheists, they came to the Prophet and they said, we will not bother you and your followers, and you know, we will allow you to, you know, worship in the God that you like, and we will not stop you from performing your religion and acting upon it, as long as you do the same for us, right? And it's famous that in response to this request, the Surah Al-Kafirun was revealed. So this is a topic which, was relevant in the time of the Prophet. It's also relevant today. You know, like for example, let's say that you go to a certain place and you want something done. You know, you have a work, you have a job, you want to get something done, and you know that requires you to go through a certain individual, right, who might not be the most virtuous of people, and you know, you think you might be inclined to flatter the person and overlook his faults just to get your work done. So this is not something very good and virtuous. In this hadith of Imam Muhammad al-Baqir, he says the following. Allah revealed to the Prophet Shu'aib, "Verily, I am punishing 100,000 members of your community, 40,000 from among the evildoers, and 60,000 from among the good doers." He said, "My Lord, evildoers fine, but what about the good doers?" Then Allah, mighty and exalted, revealed to him, "They were pliable with the transgressors. They were pliable with the transgressors and did not express any anger at what angers me." So God Almighty, he punished a group of people from the nation of the Prophet Shu'aib alayhi salam, simply because of the fact that they were tolerant with the transgressors, and you know, they did not, you know, at least verbally or practically try to stop them from committing their transgressions, and this is why God punished them. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at flattering of the transgressors in the words of Imam Muhammad al-Baqir alayhi salam. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
Joining us now from Ontario, Canada.
Now back to our story.
What is it in there?
We will be talking about this.
Let me bring in Leo Sazdi. He's a professor of international.